Hello, my name is Lynn, and I'm a regular member of the 5 p.m. service at Wentworthville Anglican Church. I'm going to be reading the Bible to you today. Our first reading comes from Isaiah chapter 40, 25 to 31, and our second reading is from Galatians chapter 5, 13 to chapter 6, verse 10. I'll just give you a minute to go and collect your devices or your Bibles. Here's the first reading from Isaiah, chapter 40, 25 to 31. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by God? Do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Our second reading comes from Galatians, chapter 5, verse 13, reading through to chapter 6, verses 10. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbour as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to know to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfless ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instructions in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. This is the word of God.
I'll pray. Father, we pray that as your word is spoken right now through the preaching of it, that you would speak to us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you good tired or are you bad tired? You know the difference between good tired and bad tired? Good tired is when you've just spent a day doing something worthwhile, something productive, something where you feel like you've achieved something and it's made you happy and content. And you know that that night you'll sleep like a log, right? That's good tired. But there's bad tired, which is the kind of tired where you're just exhausted. You haven't, you know, really done anything, but you just feel utterly wasted and you just will find it hard to sleep. That's bad tired. Good tired, bad tired. You know, running a marathon and winning, good tired. Being in bed sick with the flu, bad tired. Spending time with your family and friends beyond your 5 kilometer zone, yippee! And you've done it all day, at the end of the day, good tired. You know, having a bad argument with someone and you just can't sleep that night, that's bad tired. There's good tired and bad tired. It's true spiritually as well. There's good spiritual tired and bad spiritual tired. You know, good spiritual tiredness could be that you've spent a morning listening to someone pour their heart out to you and you go away tired, but you know that it's been worthwhile because you've served somebody and you're ready to do it all over again next time. That's good tired. But I want to talk to you today about bad spiritual tiredness, right? The kind of spiritual tiredness where you're ready and to give up. We're looking at a series called Never Give Up, and we've been chasing a word in the New Testament, which is used 6 times. It's a word which means to grow weary, to lose heart, to be discouraged, and each time the Bible says, don't do that. Never give up. And we've been looking at the reasons why we're tempted to give up and the resources that God has for us so that we don't give up. We saw that, you know, it's tempting to give up in gospel speaking, but the resource is that God, that we have the hope of glory. We've seen that we can give up on prayer, but the resource that God has for us is that we're loved by Him, our relationship with Him. And today we're going to see that we should never grow tired in doing good, and there's a wonderful resource for us. Our word about growing weary is actually used twice in relationship to doing what is good. So 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 13 says, as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. And we're going to focus on the second time it's used in relation to doing good. In Galatians 6:9, it says, let us not become weary in doing good. Literally, don't grow weary in good doing. And you might feel that you're weary. You're tired of serving. You're tired of listening. You're tired of loving. And God's word for you is to don't give up in good doing. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians the reason why we can grow weary in doing good. He tells us the resource we have to not grow weary, and he wants us to never give up. The reason we get tired, first of all, the resource we have to not get tired, and the command to never give up. So first, the reason why we get tired. And to understand the reason why we get tired, we need to understand that God has, he's built a principle into this world. He's built he's built life to work a certain way. That's what this passage tells us. Look at chapter 6, verse 7. Go back a bit earlier where it says, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. It's a fact of life that you reap what you sow. If you sow peach seeds, you'll reap a peach tree. If you sow corn, you'll get corn. If you sow eating too much cheesecake, then you'll sow obesity. If you sow staying up late every night and binging on Netflix, then you will reap Sleep deprivation. Sowing means the decisions we make in this life. Reaping means the outcome in this life and in the next life. It's telling us that we have choices. Our actions have consequences. Even our sinful actions have consequences. And Paul says, don't be deceived about this. We can be tricked about this just because there's a gap between the sowing and the reaping, that it takes time to see the outcome. It can deceive us. But Paul says, don't be mocked. God won't be mocked. God's not an idiot. Whatever you sow, that you will reap. And Christians, we need to hear this as well. We need to hear that there are outcomes in this life. Sometimes we Christians think that the grace of God takes away any consequences of my actions, any consequences whatsoever. But it's just not true. You know, the Bible teaches amazing grace. The Bible teaches abundant grace. The Bible teaches total grace. But nowhere does the Bible teach inconsequential grace. There are consequences to our actions. When you hurt somebody, grace does not undo the hurt that you've done. If you murder somebody, grace will still leave behind a dead body. Sin has consequences. If you persist in committing sexual sin, then you'll live with the consequences. If you lie to people, then the consequence will be that people just won't trust you. Now, of course, God can and does provide healing for our sin. Please understand that. But please don't think for a minute that our actions don't matter. The whole book of Proverbs is about this, that our actions do matter in this life. And we need to hear that the sins that we do have consequences in this life. We reap what we sow, and there are eternal consequences as well. This is an eternal warning. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. It says, whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. See, we can sow to the flesh, or we can sow to the Spirit. If you sow to your flesh, you'll reap destruction. There'll be hell. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap eternal life. Have I got your attention? There's eternal consequences based upon where you sow. And part of the reason why we can be so tired is that we're sowing in the wrong place. Let's think about what it means to sow to the flesh. Let's think about the works of the flesh. See, the works of the flesh are spelt out in Galatians chapter 5, verse 15, where it says, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. The flesh is, you know, the whole of ourself that wants to live for ourself. And the acts of the flesh, Paul says, they're obvious. You know what they are. They're all things that have to do with living for me. They're all things that have to do with not living for you. They are all about anti-relationships with each other and anti-relationship with God. Sowing to the flesh is all about self-centered living. It's all about a life of pride and self-absorption and self-preservation. It's living for yourself. And in Galatians, actually, it's even about living for the flesh is even about putting my trust in my own good works to save me, right? So you're sowing to the flesh if you're given over to sexual sin. You're sowing to the flesh if you're giving yourself to outbursts of rage. You're sowing to the flesh if you're boasting in your religious practices even. And if you're a Christian, you need to realize that the flesh is opposed to the Spirit, that inside you there's actually a civil war which is taking place. And one reason why we get so weary is because we're sowing to the flesh. Our sin is weighing us down. Our sin is eating us up and destroying us. And When you get tired, what you need to do is you need to ask yourself, why am I so tired? Why do I feel so tired? And isn't it true that so many of the things that we do as believers is that it's all about me? It's all about me wanting to prove myself to you and me wanting to show you how good I am. And one of the reasons why we get so tired is because we're doing things in our own flesh. We're doing things because we want the glory. We want our name up in lights. We want the applause of other people. We're doing things because of me and my pride. And that's why we're so weary. I remember when I was working at another church and there was a student minister who was working at the church for only one day a week. And he was meeting with so many people and doing so many good things. And I remember feeling a bit jealous of his energy and his drive and the things that he could do. And I thought, why can't I, you know, work as hard as him? And if I was honest, I think the reason was because so much of what I was doing was that it was all about me. It was all about me wanting to be noticed and me wanting to have a good reputation. And I needed to repent of that, actually. And that's why I was tired. Giving into the flesh is why we can get so tired. That's the first thing I want us to see about why we get tired. But here's the second thing. I want us to see, and Paul wants us to see, the resource that God has given us to do good. And I'm about to talk to you about the experience of having the Holy Spirit. You say, what? An Anglican minister talking to us about the experience of having the Holy Spirit? Have I got the right YouTube channel? Is this Wente Anglican Church? Don't worry, you're in the right place. We love the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know that when we have the Holy Spirit, we will be a person who is not weary in doing good. If you have God's Spirit, you'll be a person who explodes in doing good things, and you'll have drive and energy to do good. And it's all about sowing to the Spirit. What is sowing to the Spirit? Do you realize that the Spirit has his own harvest? If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap his fruit. What's the fruit of the Spirit? I'm so glad you asked. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of these things are about having good relationships. They're all other person-centered. They're all about being selfless and loving and actually being like God. If you're someone who has the Holy Spirit, you know, the Spirit wants to explode these things into your life. He wants you to have his fruit. And the big question for you and me is, will you sow to the Spirit or will you sow to the flesh? In other words, will you keep on doing the good that the Spirit has for you, or will you give up on the good and be a person who's living for self? You see, there's a civil war going on inside you. We think of it as a private battle that's taking place, but it actually has to do with how we treat one another. It has to do with living in relationships. How do you keep sowing to the Spirit? Let me tell you how you keep sowing to the Spirit. You have to remember these two things, okay? The first thing you need to remember is that you need to remember that the Spirit is a gift that you don't deserve. You don't deserve the Spirit. In Galatians 3:2, Paul asks the Galatians, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Answer, it's by believing what you heard. You didn't do a thing to get God's Spirit. He is God's gift to you when you believe the gospel, right? And so you've got to remember that. He's your gift. The second thing you need to remember is that you need to cooperate with him. You need to go along with him. Now that you have the gift of the Spirit, you have to use the gift. That's why we're told these four phrases in Galatians 5. Listen to these phrases. Galatians 5:16 says, walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5:18, be led by the Spirit. Galatians 5:25, live by the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 again, keep in step with the Spirit. See, all these phrases have one thing in common. You know what they have in common? They're all about you going the Spirit's way. They're all about you marching to the beat of the Spirit's drum. Just like someone might say to you, let's go along for a bushwalk. And you say, yeah, I'll come along. And, you know, they're the ones who do the leading. They take you on the bushwalk, but you're walking with them, right? You're going along with them. And that's what the Spirit does. He invites you to walk along with him, to go in the pathway that he has for you, to walk where he walks, to walk in the way of his fruit. It's like, I am the glove and the Spirit is the hand. I do what he works through me. He's the one who's working through me, animating me. And I'm doing it consciously. I'm going along with him. That's sowing to the Spirit. That's living by faith. This isn't about self-effort. This is not me doing the good. It's the Spirit working through us. Sowing to the Spirit is understanding that by faith you have the Spirit and that you are going along with him. That's what it means. Think of it this way. Imagine if I give you a gift. Oh, I give you a great gift, an expensive gift. You want to know the gift that I have for you? I give you the gift of scuba equipment, self-contained underwater breathing apparatus, scuba gear, right? I give it to you. And you say, oh, David, that's so expensive. And I say, yeah, I know, but it's yours. Take it. You say, thank you. And you take it and you put it in the cupboard and you don't use it. Now, have you got the gift? Well, in a sense, no, you haven't got the gift because you're not using it. But see, once you get the gift out of the cupboard and you drive to the beach and you put it on and you dive into the waters and you look at all the fish and the sea things with new vision underwater and you breathe in using the oxygen tank underwater and you are protected by the cold and you use the flippers to propel yourself and to swim, you've got the gift. The gift is made for you to use, right? And it's the same with the Spirit. See, when you have got the Spirit, you use the gift. When you have the Spirit, he comes into your life and he gives you new vision. He gives you new desires. He protects you from evil. He allows you to breathe in spiritual breath and he allows you to swim in the ocean of good works that God has for you. When you have the Spirit, you use the Spirit. Sowing to the Spirit is all about doing things in his strength, not ours. Okay, it's another way of saying it is, it's about living by faith. Sowing to the Spirit is another way of saying walking the walk of faith, not trusting in ourselves, trusting in his provision, not boasting in ourselves, but boasting in the cross. Okay, and the outcome of this is eternal life. Remember Galatians 6 verse 8, whoever sows to please their flesh will from the flesh reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. It's not saying that your good works save you. No, that's not what this verse is saying, not at all. It's saying, do you know, the people who are saved, the ones who have eternal life, they're the ones who do good works. That's what it's saying. Because if you have faith in Jesus, do you know what happens? You have his Spirit. And when you have his Spirit, what he does is he explodes his good works into your life. And you'll be someone who reaps eternal life. Not because you've tried hard, no way. It's all because of Jesus. It's grace alone. Faith is the root of salvation, but works, good works, are the fruit of salvation. Another way of saying it is that it's grace alone that saves. But the grace that saves you is never alone, because grace is always followed by good works. You've got God's life in you. You've got the Spirit. And you should be exploding with his fruit, sowing to the Spirit. So can you see that a Christian is someone who doesn't give up in doing good works because you've got the Spirit? So finally, let's go back to this command. This command which says, Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. And in the final chapter of Galatians, Paul gives a whole bunch of ways about how we can be doing good. Take some time to study the first 10 verses. You know, it's about not being proud. It's about restoring someone who's stuck in sin. It's about carrying each other's burdens. It's about sharing good things with those who instruct you in the word. It's about love. It's the way of love. In fact, he says in Galatians 6, verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. The English preacher John Wesley has a quote. Well, we actually don't know if he said this, but it's a great quote anyway. But he says, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. Right? It's pretty good. In other words, whenever you have the chance, do good to all people, especially to God's people, the ones who are in front of you. Do good. You see, there's a huge temptation to give up, to get weary, and for each of these, we've been linking it to the life of our church's mission. And one of the goals in our church is this, to serve, to equip the people of God to lovingly serve Christ and others. That's what we want to do as a church. It's the Christian life. It's serving God's people and it's serving Christ and others. And it could be that serving has become a chore to you. And what you need to do is you need to see it as a delight, the delight of going along with the Spirit, of participating with him. And maybe it is that you need to reflect on why you're tired. It could be that you're doing things in the flesh and you need to repent of that and go back to doing things for the glory of God. It's been wonderful to see that during COVID-19, so many of God's people have been doing good to others. I've heard stories of people who have been paying for others' bills, who have been in financial difficulty. There's been people who have helped with maintenance issues that people have at home. There's been people who have taken meals to others. There's been people who have gone for walks with others. There's been people who have taken people to medical appointments. There's been all kinds of ways in which God's people have been loving others and doing good. And when we go back to church face to face, we've got to keep going. We've got to not grow weary. We've got to not give up. We've got to keep sowing to the Spirit. You see, it's all the same thing. Do you need a final incentive to do this? You need some more encouragement? Let me remind you, who do you have living inside you? Do you know who you have? You've got God himself living inside you. Galatians 4:6 describes the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of his Son. The Spirit of his Son. You've got Jesus Christ living inside you. What? Do you see who you are? Do you see who's living inside you? You have Jesus Christ himself living inside you. How can you grow weary in doing good? You can't. You've got to keep going. We've got to say, along with the Apostle Paul in Galatians 2:20, that I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And then he says, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you know the very one who's living inside you is the very one who gave his life for you? You're his. So live for him and allow him to use you for his glory, and don't be weary of good doing. See, it's bad tide when you're weary of doing good for Christians. That's bad tide. we must never tire of doing good when we're energized with the life of God living inside us. Even youths grow weary and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen.